All right. Everyone hear me all right? All right. Welcome, everybody. You are, just to make sure you're in the right room, welcome to Brewery Ergonomics, how to stay safe and healthy in a brewery. Obviously, very important topic. My name is Jason Perkins. I work for Allagash Brewing. I'm also current BA board member and co-chair of the technical committee. I'm just here to introduce this seminar. Couple housekeeping notes. Probably already been to some seminars, so you know this, but silence your cell phones, per usual, just so you can keep quiet, and as with the rest of the convention center, please keep your mask on, covering face and nose throughout the entirety of the presentation. Again, you might know this already, but for questions, we are using Slido, which is just a kind of virtual way to get some questions answered instead of coming up to microphones in years past, so scan that QR code, type in your question, and that'll get right to the presenters when that time comes. So let's see. Oh, one other reminder. Please do your best to fill out the seminar feedback form at the end for this seminar and any of the seminars you attend. It is super helpful. I've been involved with a bunch of CBC technical development, and it is very helpful to have feedback on which presentations people are happy with so we can build better content moving forward. So please take the time to do that. Without that, I just want to just announce our two speakers. You're very lucky. You have not one, but two doctors up here on stage up here. So first, to my right, we have Dr. Steve Finney, brewer and owner of Little Thistle Brewing Company. And we also have Dr. Nicole Lavery, vice president and assistant professor. So vice president of Lavery Brewing and assistant professor at Gannon University. So with that, I'll turn it over to you guys.
Thanks for the introduction. There's our wonderful pictures. And we're going to go back and forth here a little bit. So Nikki's going to talk in the first part of the presentation. Then I'm going to come in and talk a little bit about more some exercises, which might involve movement or will involve movement on your part. Nothing strenuous, but stuff you can do sitting down and maybe a little standing up. But anyway, we're going to go through and describe the current literature regarding musculoskeletal injuries within breweries. And then we're going to talk about some of the work-related stress in breweries. And then I'm going to break down and talk about how we can have improve the health and wellness of brewers or people who are working in breweries. So not just brewers, anyone in packaging, you name it, anyone that staff. So this could be, we're all pretty creative people, so I think we want to make sure that anyone working in our businesses receive the benefits of this. And we're going to talk about how to lift correctly. And we're going to talk about how you have two really important things. You have to have mobility, that's range of motion, flexibility, and stability, that's core strength. So we're going to talk about some of those things and some key exercises that you can do. And then we're going to talk about some creative ways of how you would actually implement this in your breweries, which I think is part of the challenge, too, based on budgets and space, et cetera. But I really think we can come up with some good ideas. And then also provide some basic guidelines for ergonomic setup and design. So, just a show of hands, so we know who's in the room here. How many people, just stick your hand up, are actual brewers? Okay. How many of those people are brewery owners, too? Okay. Just because brewery owners, too, also we want to make sure owners are supportive of all this stuff we're talking about, too. So, how many people are working, like, in the cellar or doing on the cold side? How many people in packaging? Lots of repetitive motions there, too. How many people are delivery or moving kegs on the... Okay. God bless you all. That's one of the hardest things right there. Anyone else from any other, like, health insurance people? I know this is a topic whereby if we can speak to our health insurance folks, there is opportunities for reduced premiums. So, anyway. And I think that's it. I'm going to hand off to Nikki here.
Short person on the podium. Hi, so thank you for that introduction, Jason. I'd like to start off by saying I am a co-owner of a brewery, but I also teach at Gannon. I'm an occupational therapist. I feel like I like to introduce myself as like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You know, on one hand, I get to teach professionals how to be professional, and on the other hand, I get to teach adults how to drink more beer or get them to drink more beer. So today, unfortunately, you get my Dr. Jekyll side, which is kind of why I'm talking a little bit about my research and some background information on injury rates, not only within the brewery industry, but also within general manufacturing. So the Bureau of Labor of Statistics actually reports that injuries cause over 32,000 days away missed based on injuries that are occurring in manufacturing agencies. Major causes of these injuries tend to be improper lifting, repetitive work patterns, and awkward postures. Does that sound familiar? Right? This is what we do. So breweries, the BLS does report that breweries were at about 3.6 to 3.5 injuries per 100 full-time workers. So what does that mean? So that, you know, just move the decimal. If we have 3.5 per 100 at 1,000, there's 35 injuries, 350 injuries per 10,000, and so on and so forth. So you can see it does exponentially get larger as, you know, the more employees we have in our system. So just keeping that in mind. But they actually state that the incidence rate of injuries is pretty low within our industry. So that's good news. Sorry, my voice is a little shaky because I'm a little nervous, so I apologize. I should have drank more beer. So why does safety matter? So this is kind of what we're talking about here, right? We have to get you guys to buy in to why it actually matters, and hopefully you'll be able to implement some of these things that Steve is going to be talking about here, because they are important, and we don't want you to be injured within your workplace. Because general impact of an injury within the brewery, like within manufacturing agencies, an injury costs about $32,000 of extra cash beyond workman's comp. So not only are you paying into workman's comp, but then you're losing about an average of $32,000 because maybe you're the brewer and you're injured and you're losing production. Maybe you know, your packaging guy can't come in because he's injured. So you're losing all that money. So this is why safety is so important. Things to think about, right? We work hard. We're hard workers. You heard that this morning. We're growing. We're a growing industry. So how does stress, fatigue, and possibly inactivity, because we are so hardworking, we're not getting out there, we're not exercising, we're not staying healthy, how does that affect us? We are actually getting older, unfortunately. Everyone is just getting older. And, you know, that causes things to break down. I can tell you my knees are not the same as they were 20 years ago. Some of you work multiple jobs, right? So you didn't come in this industry, or some of you maybe came right in this industry, but some of you came from other industries. Maybe you're still working in those other industries. So that adds to fatigue, lack of sleep, which can then reduce attention, reduce overall productivity, right? And we are not as healthy as we think we are or want to be, right? So we all know this. Beer has calories. We tend to drink a lot of it in this industry, and it doesn't necessarily help our overall physique and strength and, you know, core stability. So thinking about those things, we got to consider that as we think about safety. So what are we really talking about here? So we're talking about musculoskeletal disorders. So what is that? That's any injury or disorder of muscles, ligaments, joints, spinal discs, right? Thinking about backs. And these can cause a lot of pain. And pain can not only lead to injury, but it can lead to job dissatisfaction. You could leave your job because you're in pain. Maybe you can't work or do your job well because you're in pain. Those are big deals in our industry, right? We lift a lot of things. So thinking back to what we talked about the BLS and some of how injuries are occurring, these are things we have to think about and some examples of what's going on in our brewery, right? You already know this. You're doing this. Tasks that require increased force, pushing, pulling, mashing in, abnormal movements, bottling, canning, how many people are turning and twisting and picking up and moving and pushing. That can cause musculoskeletal injuries. Twisting and rotating, those darn keg washers, they're wonderful, but they're not, right? So we're picking up kegs and twisting, and not only that, but half of them maybe come back half full, or you know, and then adds on to that weight of twisting and rotating. Repetitive lifting, not just kegs, grain, hops, they weigh a lot. contact stress. How many of you do packaging and just stand at one spot over time, right? That can cause injury. It can cause back pain. It can cause knee pain. It can cause foot pain if you're not wearing the right equipment or if you don't have something easy to stand on. And then one thing that I don't think we think about a lot is exposure to vibration. So what does this look like in a brewery? Sounds. Those low buzzing sounds or clinking. I was wearing, do you guys have Apple Watches? There's like a sound meter that you can actually put on your Apple Watch. And it will tell you when sound is too loud. And I was bottling the other, or I wasn't bottling, I was helping label the other day. And all that clinking of those bottles, my sound meter was just spiking every time a bottle clinked. So think about that over time. We might think we don't want to listen to our significant other as we get older, but we still want to, you know, hear concerts and music and stuff. So that is a big deal. So that leads me to my study. So as an occupational therapist that works at a university, I actually have to do research. So I put together a research team of several OT students, and I had them create a survey because there's no information, there's no research out there at all on injury rates within the brewery system. So we had to start somewhere, right? So we sent out about 3,800 surveys. Maybe some of you got them. We included 191 in our study because they were fully completed. So that's about 20% return, which is great. I think that's a good number. 43 states were represented, average age of 44 years old, 77% male, and 60% were owners. So what did we look at in the surveys? We looked at stress was one area. We've been talking about these psychosocial issues, these mental health issues, right, in the brewing system recently, even just today. So 84% of the individuals that completed the survey reported stress in the brewery. There's that fun 16%. I would really like to know who that is because I want to high-five you and find out why you have no stress. Now, keep in mind, this occurred prior to COVID. So these surveys went out in like 2019, 2020. So I would really like to see maybe that 16%, not so high now, but still, some of you are reporting no job stress. So kudos to you. So how is this stress actually affecting your work and your home life? This is something as an OT I wanted to find out. So 66% reported that stress. So you guys, when I talk about these percentages, this is you. You have reported this to me, that you reported stress at work. So what does that mean? That means 31% of you said that it affects your time management. 27% said it affects your relationships with your coworkers. 20% of you said leadership and supervision was an issue because of stress. And then initiating and sustaining work tasks and completing work tasks, 20% of you said that stress had effects on that. And that's a big deal. That leads to less beer, less production, less job satisfaction. And then also home. I think that this is something that we should maybe focus on a little bit. 82% of you said that your stress, your work stress, you took home with you. That's a huge number, and that's scary because home should be a place where you should be able to de-stress, right? So how is this affecting you? Rest and sleep. 34% of you said that stress disrupts your rest and sleep. Leisure skills or leisure and social participation. You're saying that you don't want to go out or that you're unable to do the things you want to be able to do because you're stressed out. Home management, 16%, and then caring for others. Right? And again, are you going home to your spouse or your kids and not being able to play with them and hang out with them because you're stressed out about your work? I can attest to this. My husband, who's in the room, I won't point him out, but you may see him in a couple pictures. You know, rest and sleep. He's up at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, stressed out, thinking about all the things he has to do at work. Home management. I can't tell you the last time he actually mowed my lawn. And, you know, he blames it on stress, but we'll see. So again, looking at those pain and injury rates, 69% of you reported pain since employment. So I think that's a pretty significant number. It shows that the things that we're doing, these repetitive tasks that we're doing, are causing you pain. And as you can see, the pain rates, so low back, we all know this, right? That we're picking up things, we're twisting. But that doesn't mean that we have to make sure we're doing it right. Shoulders, you know, packaging, pulling materials down, picking things up, creating a lot of pain in our shoulders. And then you can see the rest of the numbers that you've reported. And then 37% of you said that you've been injured at work since employment at a brewery. And where is that happening the most? You can see here, hands and fingers. So what's happening? Crush injuries. Who's had their hand crushed between two kegs, right? Toes, foot and toe is on there too. But and then low back. So that low back pain that's being caused by a repetitive injury that maybe you're lifting improperly or you're not doing two-man lifts or you're doing something wrong, it's leading to you getting low back injuries. So it's something to keep in mind. This, again, just repeats the same information that's coming from the BLS, and I'm sure that you know how is this occurring. 62% said lifting, twisting, 29%, 22% bending, and 22% repetitive motion. These aren't unknown to you. You know that these things are happening, but we have to start thinking smarter and harder on how to prevent these from occurring. And then finally, what we looked at PPE and safety training, just to see what you guys are getting in your breweries. 69% reported having some type of workplace training. That's great. I love that. That's a good number. 76% were trained on how to lift. So maybe trained and educated, but are you actually doing it right? You know, are you looking at that keg going, hey, Steve, come help me lift it? Or like, it's only 5 feet. Let's get it over there by myself, right? So are we doing what we're saying? Or are we doing what we're taught? 38% reported having concerns for long-term health. Again, going back to we're getting older, not younger. And then only 53% said that they should be wearing more PPE that they're not wearing. And I feel like that's a big number. So what's some of the PPE that was reported? Steel-toed boots. You know, I can't tell you how many times I walk into breweries and I see people wearing flip-flops. It's going back to the injury rates of, you know, feet and toes, right? Safety goggles. We're very lucky. We have three eye doctors above our brewery. So we've actually shot up there a few times until I got in their heads to wear those goggles. Hearing, you know, not headphones with music, but actually like hearing protection is one of the PPE that was reported people are not wearing. And then even just the safety mask. So if you're cleaning out your mill room, wearing that safety mask. So Steve's now going to start telling you about how to prevent some of these things from happening and talk to you a little bit about retraining your brain on how to lift properly.
Okay. So I'm a brewer and owner along with my wife in Rochester, Minnesota. We're a 10-barrel system. So, you know, pretty small brewery, but there's lots of kegs to lift, all those kind of things. In a former life, or I'm a physical therapist, I worked at Mayo Clinic, which is also in Rochester, Minnesota, and worked in sports medicine as a supervisor there, and also a physical therapist. And in the time I was there, they just decided they'd open a sports medicine center in Minneapolis also, take care of the Timberwolves, all that kind of stuff. So it wasn't because of me. I just happened to be there. So I learned a lot. And so segue being is I all think you're athletes, and we need to take care of ourselves. And that's really what this is about. So hopefully people have questions, use the app, and we'll do our best to answer those at the end. So I'm just going to go through and just talk about a few things. So obviously, Nikki talked about a lot of things. Back injuries is really the focus that I'm going to talk about because we can't talk about every single injury, but backs are pretty common. So how much, you know, just show of hands, how many people have really hurt their back in here from being at work in the brewery, though? Okay, so that's in the brewery. How about just in general in life, hurt your back too? So, what's that? Yeah, sneezing, yeah. Well, actually, that again, some people will hurt their back from sneezing, or brushing their teeth. You hear all these things, but really what that is that's the straw that broke the camel's back. So it's really poor mechanics over time. So this is a quick anatomy lesson here. So you can see these little spinal muscles on the top right there. So they cover all the tiny segments throughout our spine. So on their own, they're not very strong. But when you combine them with the muscles down below, the core muscles like your glutes, your abdominals, a lot of your hip muscles, that's commonly known as the core, the combination of the two is really what makes you the most strongest. Okay, so a good example of that is if I want to pick something up off the floor, I can just bend at the waist and pick it up, and then my spine muscles are doing most of the work. Over time, you know, that's not going to be good. Or it increases your chances of hurting your back. And so, you know, you hear all the time that you should lift with your legs and not with your back. So you guys have heard all this before. The question is, can we do it? And can we do it in our breweries? Can we take care of our staff and everyone that is in the brewery? So anatomy is key. So we're going to work those little muscles, but we're going to work the core muscles too. Humans, we like to cheat. We always like to find the easiest way to do something, okay? So that's the other thing too, is we need to ask for help in the brewery. It doesn't matter who you are, it's okay to ask for help. Because otherwise it is going to lead you down the road of potential injury and all those other kind of things. So technique is really important. So we're going to talk about lifting to start with, and then we're going to talk about range of motion and stability afterwards. So these are just some pictures you can see from some are from our brewery. Some is just, you know, ideally you don't want to be lifting a keg like that. Ideally, can you buddy up and can you ask for help? Or can you wait until someone else comes in and then have them help you lift the keg? So that to start with. A keg lifter is useful. We had one, but once we got more kegs and our cooler became busier, I couldn't move it around. So it was good for a period of time, and that's just one model. And then also just making sure if you have, you know, self-stacking kegs. And so when you're kegging off beer off a tank or whatever, then making sure you're just filling them when they're empty and then stacking them. There's a few just simple things you can do. So this is one thing I want to talk about. So as far as doing, this is really doing a squat, but doing it properly. So I'd like to see if we can try and do this together, which requires, if you don't have anyone in front of you, you've got plenty of room. If you have someone directly in front of you, then it's going to require kind of everyone to do it because you're going to lean forward. So I do want to try this. I know we're in COVID times, but it does help give the example. So look at this picture here of the lady who's doing a squat. The whole premise here is of keeping your back and your spine in a neutral position. Okay, so this, remember those muscles are tiny little muscles? They're strongest when they're in a neutral position, right? And what we're going to do is have the core muscles, the hips, the glutes, those power muscles, the quads, they're going to do all the work. So if you see that picture, and this is all based off of, you know, big, heavy weightlifters who've been lifting, deadlifting and stuff like that, they can lift hundreds of pounds. The reason why, they use all those core muscles, okay? They do all about the technique. So when you do this, ideally keep your back straight. So imagine you're lifting a keg, okay, then you're going to keep your back straight, and then you're going to actually do your weight shift going backwards. So then you're going to stick your butt out. So that's what we're going to try and do in a minute here. We'll see how successful we are. You're going to bend at the hips so that you actually keep your spine straight. So from here, okay, it's a little bit of a balancing act too, but can I have people stand up? Can we do this? Are we good? We're moving technology. All right. So what you're going to do, it's simple, but it's also hard, okay? If you can have a chair behind you is ideal, okay? So just use your chair and have it right behind you. Okay, I'm going to do it with you. So all you're going to do, the chair is behind you. And so what you're going to do first, again, you can look at the visual there. You can look at me. But what you're going to do is you're going to, first of all, you're going to just tilt forward, keep your spine straight, and stick your butt out. So the butt has to go back, though, as if you were going to sit in the chair. So you got to bend your knees, though. Got to see some knees there bending? The chair is the safety net. So go all the way down until you're almost touching the chair. Then hold it there. Right? I should have said, too, his feet need to be shoulder width apart. You should have a good base of support, all that kind of stuff. Okay, then come back up. We do it once more, okay? So again, the chair is the safety net. So I got pictures of us doing this on our brew house steps. So you want to do all this stuff with no weight before you start putting on the, lifting a bag or anything like that. So feet shoulder width apart. You're going to kind of stick your butt out, lean forward, but keep your back straight. And then you got to have a posterior weight shift. That's what it's all about. You got to lean back a little bit and stick that butt out and then hold it there. And that's your core being activated there. Now squeeze your ab muscles and stay there. Or you can come up. Anyway, you just got to try that stuff because this is what this is all about, okay? It's using those muscles. And like I said, in my physical therapist hat, a whole hour would be focused just on breaking that down, but that's not what we're doing. As long as you get the idea that, and think about butt and the gut. So when you're lifting that keg, if you engage your abdominals and you engage, and you're in a squat position, that's what you want to do. So the other thing too is other good lifting positions. You can call this kind of like the golfer's pickup, or you can call it beer pickup. Is just, if you look at what this person's doing here, it's similar to a deadlift, if anyone does any weightlifting practices. So the spine is kept neutral. I'm going to pick something up off the ground. So I challenge you in your brewery or whatever you're doing, if you're picking up something light, I'd like you to start trying to do that. Why? It's kind of on your spine, but what you're starting to do is already train your glute muscles to turn on when you do that, okay? So these are the kind of things we do in physical therapy and occupational therapy, try and train these muscles. So this is a very simple way of, otherwise, what are you going to do? You're just going to do this, repeatedly every day, or you're going to do the squat, which I just showed you. So these are just some simple things, too, is just to lean over and pick something up there in the brewery. So I encourage you to try, when you're lifting a keg too, the other thing too is to be in the moment, right? You mentioned that your husband's got hundreds of other things going on in his mind, and I feel I'm the same too. When we're all wearing different hats, there's a lot going on in the brewery. But when you're lifting a keg, you do need to be mindful. You do have to be in the moment. So you're going to, get yourself in a good position. You're going to do your squat. You're going to keep your spine straight, and then you're going to lift. Okay, but you're going to do it with a partner. So you won't be thinking about that. Just had this slide here, just shows that some folks in the industry are already recognizing it's important to have some mobility or range of motion exercises. So it was kind of cool when I just saw this on the website. So this is our next topic, is let's talk about a little bit of range of motion and stretching. I'm going to probably zip through this so that we have plenty of time for questions. So just going to go through, and we're going to talk about the key kind of areas that you can do. All this stuff can be done in the brewery. A lot of it can be done sitting. And so we'll just go through and show you. So the first one is a hamstring stretch. So if where you're all sitting right now, if you want to just scoot to the front of your seat, and then all you're going to do scoot forward and stick one leg out in front of you. Okay, so one leg out in front of you, and then all you're going to do is bend at the waist. Keep your spine straight and bend at the waist until you feel, hopefully not too much pain, but just a stretch. So there's really not a lot of excuses for us. We can do this stuff when we're sitting, when you're in a meeting, and you switch over. Again, just bend at the waist. You shouldn't curve your spine, but just bend at the waist. Okay? And then we're going to move in the next one real quick. Take your, take your right leg over your left. And then you're going to pull your knee in towards you, and you're going to lean forward. And you're going to get a real nice stretch right in your butt. Okay? So the glutes are the powerhouse. That's what helps you lift. And the hamstrings, I guarantee most of us in the room have really tight hamstrings. They're connected at your pelvis and in your knee. So again, if you're super tight in those, it can predispose you to lower back injuries and stuff like that. So just, again, it's more, if you can do this stuff, you're just likely to reduce your risk. Okay, quads too. Everyone's seen a standing quad stretch there. Most important thing is just making sure you're holding onto the shin, not at the ankle, because your ankle will flex. Stand nice and straight. push your hip forward and you get a nice quad stretch too. You can drop down to a half kneeling and get a hip flexor stretch too. 15 to 20 seconds. Again, you can do most of this in your brewery. So spine, this is Nick, my assistant brewer, so thanks to him for being the model here. You'll recognize the one in the middle there is pretty much a yoga pose there too. So you think about it just reversed, but you can do side bending, you do flexion and extension. So all these things can be done. Yeah, child's pose, I think that one is. And then, again, just using a little bit of equipment there, a brewery stairs, you can do an extension. You can do a side flexion of your neck. And then the other one there is rotation. So trying to avoid like laying down on the floor and stuff like that, because we know that's just going to be more day. We have to be safe, right, when we're doing this stuff. Wrists and shoulders, other ones really important. You have tennis elbow. Anyone had tennis elbow or real bad elbow problems? I was having terrible elbow problems with tri-clamps all the time. It went away when I hired my assistant brewer. It's great. But that's the important part there is it just reduced the amount of times I was have to turn things on and turn things off or whatever, right? So just the point there too is if you're working all alone in your brewery, at some point it's going to be more advantageous to get some help. Otherwise, you end up going to hurt. Okay, so stability is your core strength, okay? I love this picture, so that's what they do in Thailand, apparently. Okay, planks. So these are just a simple exercise that you can do anywhere. So there's a picture on the right there. I've got Monique, who works in our brewery. She's leaning against one of our barrels. So it's kind of a modified plank. And then that's me nudging her too at the hips, because if you do that, then the person has to work stronger to hold themselves there. So you can have a lot of fun with this. Again, be safe. But, if you give someone a little push there when they're trying to do a plank, they have to work ridiculously hard to hold it. So you can do side planks. You can do the front planks. You can start moving one limb at a time. You can make it a lot harder. And usually with this kind of exercise, you're trying to hold it for, 30 seconds, a minute, and go for endurance. You want to be able to do it for a few minutes. Rows is another one. If you're fortunate to be, have access to a health club or something, that's a great cardio workout doing rows. Or you can improvise, and this is us just using a keg. Or you can use anything else just to do that. You can use TheraBand. I'm going to talk about that too, which is just a stretchy band. And you can do those too. The whole time you're doing these exercises too, you're always thinking about your posture and the butt and the gut. Hip abductors and squats. So Monique on the left-hand side here is doing side steps, and she's got the band wrapped around her ankles there. Again, really going to burn your glute muscles on the sides, your glute medius. So that's a really important one. And then on the other side is me using the steps, exactly what we just did a few minutes ago, right? Is using the cue of the steps that I'm going to come down and almost touch my butt to there. So my spine is still straight and neutral. Stick my butt out, feet are shoulder width apart, and that's really a nice stable base of support, so you can squat and try that. Back extensions is another one. And, I'm racing through this, but you all know that all these slides are all going to be available to you. So the whole goal is to give you something that then you could apply in your own brewery. So back extensions, this is the only one here that, you are laying down on the floor. So you have to figure that one out. But coming up, holding it, squeeze. You got to squeeze the butt cheeks like crazy when you do that. Squeeze your lower back, breathe, and try and go for endurance too, if you can hold that for 30 seconds, a minute, and build up. Single leg deadlifts are a little bit more advanced, so I'm not going to get into that right now. But those are the kind of things that it's more dynamic. So here's some useful tools that don't cost a lot of money that you could have in your brewery. So we've got a tennis ball, which is really useful for soft tissue work. So if you do hurt, your back, we'll keep focused on the back, then you can use that as a massaging tool. So super cheap. The other ones here, it's a company called Skills, SKLZ. And they have a lot of great stuff. So the one underneath the guy's spine is called a peanut, and it goes on either side of the spinous process, the bony parts. And then you can kind of work down the segments. Get a good crack, you can get a massage, you can work on all those things. So those are good. Then you also have the foam roller there you can use. The other one is a Theracane that you see someone working on their calf. So you can do that again. You can do that with tennis elbow. You can do it on your quads. And again, it's just more of a deep tissue kind of thing that usually feels good. And then the TheraBands are there on the bottom left, so you can use those too. Very inexpensive. Recognize the mat there. The difference that a mat will make, obviously, if you're packaging or if you're behind the bar is incredible, right? So that just really helps your joints, your back, etc. Then knee braces, and then even something as simple as a tennis elbow brace there can also help. Just helps to dissipate the forces going through your elbow. The one thing I should say with all of this stuff, if you have any injuries or current injuries right now, you really should, you know, check with your doctor and go through those things first before you try any of this stuff. So you just got to make sure that you're doing okay. All right, we're going to switch again.
All right, so I'm sure you're all thinking this sounds wonderful and great, but when do we actually have time to do this? So as an OT, what we like to do is try to help you change your routine so that you can add some of these in and make them a daily life thing, not just a I leave here, I do it 2 days, and then I forget about it, right? So how can you make small changes to your routine? Show up 10 minutes early or start 10 minutes later, right? And try to do some of these stretches prior to mashing in or prior to packaging. Make sure that or you could always stretch or strengthen after mashing. So maybe instead of, you know, having in your head to like go run off and clean a keg, maybe spend that time after you mash in to try some of these strengthening or range of motion routines. Create stations around your brewery. So make it fun. You know, maybe at your keg washing station, you have a few weights. We have those around our keg washing station. And so while you're keg washing, you know, lift some weights. Then maybe, you know, after your mash in, maybe, you know, have some TheraBand and do some hip abductors all the way down the brewery, you know, to get to the fermenters. So create fun stations. Maybe when you hear your favorite song come on or every like three songs, stretch. It only takes like one little thing to make you think about what changes, right? 5 minutes before and after packaging, I think that this should be, you know, brewery-wide. You should always stretch before packaging. I think that it's just such a strenuous, repetitive activity. And like I said, during keg cleaning, you know, throw the keg up there. It has to take time to wash, so lift some weights or do some stretching. Other things that you can incorporate at your brewery, you can see in the picture up here that they do yoga at Little Thistle. That looks super fun. So you can integrate, you know, your clientele and your brewers and make it a fun activity. You could do daily morning stretches, so maybe team stretching or team exercises. Put signs up around your brewery. Don't forget to, you know, two-man lift or whatever. Sometimes it just takes that one reminder to make a change. You can see make a fitness club at your brewery. So we have our Lavery Fitness Club. Looks really big and exciting, right? So on Sundays, we've started to, you know, run, jog, walk, eye rollerblade, you know, bike. And then we go have some Bloody Marys afterwards, right? We want to think about adequate hydration. Beer is not hydration. No matter how hard we try, you still have to drink some water. So make sure you're doing that. You know, we talked about meditation and relaxation today, this morning. So, you know, take some time out of your day to try and do that to reduce some of your stress. Again, I can't say enough for these Apple Watches and devices. They tell me to breathe every 15 minutes because I'm not breathing. So, you know, utilize these tools to help, make small changes in your routines. And then finally, just some basic ergonomic setup and design ideas. And again, this is like no way exhaustive, but these are just some things that to think about. So if you're in the process of building a brewery or you're a newer brewery, make sure that you have really good lighting. Anywhere anyone goes, you should have good lighting. You don't want anyone to trip, slip, fall. Whatever I heard about an injury last night because there wasn't enough lighting and it was a pretty horrific injury. I'm sure. I don't think they're in here, but there wasn't enough lighting. So lighting matters. Use hazard or warning tape, or paint bright highlights on tripping hazards. You can see on the one picture, we have a concrete curb where we have our canning line, and gray on gray is really hard to see. So I made them paint it red so that you could see it, so you could not trip over it as easily. Thinking about brewing and milling, making sure that your materials are in an appropriate place. So what does that mean? Waist level for heavy materials or on the floor using the good body mechanics. You don't want heavy things up high to pull things down. We use pool noodles on hot piping. Cut a pool noodle and put it around hot piping. Prevents burns around your brewery. And you can make it fun, and you can do color rainbows or whatever. You can think about where you place your mill. This is, again, one of those repetitive tasks that we do, that a lot of overhead heavy lifting that can have a lot of impact on injuries. So on the right here, we actually drilled a hole in the floor. So our mill's in the basement, and we just have to dump our grain into the basement. And then we have a chain and disc system that brings it up and puts it into our mash tun. I'm sure not everyone has a basement, but it's just one idea. Steve said that he uses platform. He builds up a platform using pallets just to make the mill at shoulder height, so he doesn't have to lift up and over, but just has to dump it in. So think about where your items are being placed around the brewery. And yes, we have a lid. See, I even highlighted it so you could see. We have a lid so you don't fall in the hole. And then packaging, making sure that tables, I'm sure, you know, we use those plastic tables that are just easy to fold up and put away, making sure they're at waist height when you're packaging so that you're not just standing bent over for too long of time. When you're packaging, place your bottles, your empty bottles or tables to the sides of you so you just have to shuffle instead of having to turn, twist, and bend. And then use extra pallets or pallet jacks to bring up your cans or bottles when you're bottling. Because even when I was talking about labeling earlier, I was like bending down and picking up and turning and twisting. And by the end of that, it was awful. So try to just add extra pallets underneath every time you move a level so that you can keep it at waist height. And then finally, just little last tidbits, take micro breaks every 30 minutes if you're doing a repetitive task, or every 2 hours, rotate with somebody if you have a bigger team. Train your crew. The BA has tons of awesome trainings, lots of great videos, so utilize them. They're free. I gave you the website here. Create a safety program in your brewery, even if it's one or two people. Go around and just kind of look at things. Shoot me an email or Steve an email, you know, if you need to problem solve something. We had the safety boot camp, so go to your boot camps. Join your state guilds. Steve and I are actually going to be doing a talk at the Brewers of Pennsylvania annual meeting in November, doing the same talk. You get a lot of free good information from your guilds. Go to your conferences. You're already winning on that one. And then finally, talk to your insurance companies. Our insurance company actually gives us a price break for safety. So talk to them. You know, it could save you money in the long run, and see if they'll work with you. If you put together a safety program and you have these certificates from your BA and you can show them that you're utilizing these things, they may give you a price break. So really good monetary way to get safety into your breweries. And that is all. And I guess we have to keep going. A turtle. I love that, like a real turtle, like a tortoise, or is that a thing? Is that a brewery thing, a turtle? Someone's being silly, right? I don't see why not. I guess, sure, if you want to. Do you have any recommendations for specific brands or styles of anti-fatigue mats, specifically for packaging crews who stand in place one day? Do you have any?
Those types of ones we have, my wife might know, but we can find out for you because we got a whole bunch of them, but I don't know the specific brand on those.
We use Webstaurant a lot, they may have some online. Best exercises for rehabbing a lower back injury, go to therapy, right?
And a lot of the exercise on there, I showed are for low back injuries. So you have to have pain-free range of motion first. So your pain has to subside. You have to be able to move well. And then you can do some of those exercises on there. So the planks can all be modified. So you've got bended knees. You can do the ones where you gently do the back extensions and just lift your head up. But you have to have the range of motion first, no pain.
I do want to say for lower backs, too, that research has shown that the stability, the back stability bands, they actually don't show any that they help. Yeah. So they actually could hurt you because you think that it's helping you be stable, but there's no research that says that they actually work.
I actually wrote a paper on that at Mayo Clinic because so many people were wearing them, so I didn't even plug you to say that. But yeah, they're not helpful. So if you're wearing a back belt, you've got your own back belt. You just need to use it. So turn on your butt and your gut. That's where it is.
Any tips for bad knees? Hauling grain and hops up the brew deck stairs can be an issue.
Well, it's hard when we get in, especially in this talk, is to talk about all, if we start getting into all different body parts. So it is difficult. But if you have knee problems, then also, you know, it's important in general stuff, wear a brace. If you do have pain, you know, and you have a new injury, then it really is like a first aid approach. So it's the PRICE approach, so protection, rest, ice, compression, and elevation. So using a brace can really help in the acute phase, you know, using appropriate medication that your doctor's okay with and you can take for anti-inflammatories, all that kind of stuff, ice at the end of the day, taking breaks. So there's all that stuff in the initial phase, and then the next phase is the rehabbing stuff too, right? So making sure you do exercises for, again, the core, the glutes, the quads. There's a lot of stuff involved. So if you do have health insurance, you have access, then obviously physical therapy, that kind of stuff is really the way to go.
And making sure your shoes are appropriate, you know, making sure that you're wearing the appropriate footwear can really have a big impact on your ankles, your knees, your back. So if you are wearing boots that you've had for over a year, you probably need new boots. That even though, you know, they're waterproof and you're looking at like the steel-toed, if the foam is broken down and you're not having good stability within your shoes, it could actually cause pain as well. How prevalent are arm, elbow injuries due to repetitive motion? How about arthritis in hands, wrists, and knuckles? I'm not sure on the prevalence rates of those in the brewery. I think I had some on the slides that...
Is there enough research done?
But I'm not sure if there's enough. I mean, not in breweries. I mean, again, my research is one of the first to even look at some of those things. Lower back. Actually, no one really reported a lot of injuries in arms and elbows, so I don't even have it on my slides. I can look into that, though. That's a professor trick. Look into it. Cool accent. What part of England are you from?
It must be my wife or something. I'm not from England, from Scotland, so whoever said that, I'll find you later.
Take it back. Any specific brands of boot insoles? I don't know. What kind do you guys use that are any? McCain boots? K-E-N? K-E-E-N.
Keen.
Sorry, Keen. Keen boots. That's what Logan wears. So what is it?
Stenko.
Awesome. So here's some good boot names for you. Hip abductor with a plastic bag. What is the motion you are doing? Isometric?
Plastic bag? I didn't see it. Was that?
Was that with a TheraBand?
It was a TheraBand. Maybe it was band as opposed to bag. So those ones, you're asking, which motion am I doing? So that's dynamic when you're actually moving side to side. Isometric is no movement occurring. So you can just do side steps, and you can do those. And so those will burn, and those are good for you as long as you have no pain.
next one, what's the role of hydration, nutrition, and rest? You know, that we're still studying that. That's actually one of the areas we may look into for my next studies is that that mental health stress part, looking into sleep and rest. I mean, I think obviously just for good nutrition and good health overall, you know, I think those are very important. So making sure that you have proper hydration. So everybody make sure you drink water today, not just beer. And then finally, we have a large diversity of heights in our packaging crew. Do you have any tips for getting our pack out area waist high for everyone? Yeah, I think that this is a really challenging question. It's actually something that I've been thinking about. My next research group is actually going to be looking at this, and we're working with the biomechanical engineer program to maybe figure out some way to modify some of those tables to make them move or make them more appropriate heights. So that is something we are actively looking at this year. So maybe next year I'll be able to have a better answer for you. But, I mean, you maybe use a pallet if it's really low, depending on the height of your, you know, your crew. Maybe putting a couple of pallets under your tables. I know they're really low. It just depends on, you may have to play around with it with the height of your team. So, awesome. Well, great questions, everyone. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.